Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR on this Tuesday, November the 28th, 2023. Tim Wildman with Ed Battagliano with Fred Jackson. And now Steve Paisley-Jordahl.
Morning.
Donning the blue paisley
blue
today.
Blue paisley today, yes.
Did anybody give you a paisley gift of any shirt or anything?
Well, Christmas is yet to come, so I'll tell you what my size is if you want.
You do that.
All right.
Thanks for spoiling the surprise, Tim.
I'll go to the department store.
17 and a half or 18, 34.
I'll self-scan you a shirt.
Okay. So you're not going to use Amazon. You're going to
self-scan it.
You're going to go to a department store.
We do need department stores. I think we need some of them to survive at least.
Yeah.
Some people like to go actually try on stuff.
Look at it. Hold it.
Who's the left going to loot if there's no department stores left?
Well, department stores and just stores, brand name stores. You need stores to go in and buy
Steve,
stuff.
I think that's an unfair characterization of what the left is doing. Those are mostly peaceful protests.
You're talking about the
smash and grab?
The smash and grab? Yeah. Trying to feed their family?
People are feeding their family on TVs and mink coats.
Just need a sandwich. That's all to get me through the day.
All right. What's your first story, Steve?
All right. The Biden administration this won't surprise anybody. They have sold out, going full bore on the LGBTQ transgender nonsense. So I brought it into the story. I mean, you guys already know that the Republican attorneys general of about 20 states have sent a letter to the Department of Health and Human Services, because HHS has said you cannot adopt or foster a child, the foster care system, unless you respect that child's gender identity and dress them the way they want to be and use the pronouns that they want to. If you don't agree to that, you can't foster. But just today, a couple seconds ago, found this story from the Federalist. Not only the transgender issue, but the Biden administration is poised to force every recipient of any federal grant to also, their business, nonprofit, schools, have to toe the transgender line, or else no money, no grants, no federal grants. We're talking about $700 billion a year that the federal government uses for grants. Unless you sign the dotted line on the transgender thing, you get no federal grants, no money.
Okay, so first of all, because these are two separate stories. So
they are.
On the foster care, I thought that's a state issue. What is the federal interest? What is their influence on state foster care policies? Or do they give federal dollars to states to handle their foster care?
They probably do give federal money. I don't know that the separation of powers has really bothered the Biden administration all that much.
You're probably right there.
the rule is called the Safe and Appropriate Foster Care Placement Requirements, and it would mandate that foster parents and families utilize the foster child's identity pronouns, chosen name. The HHS, I think, does some business with foster agencies.
That would make sense.
Yeah.
The federal money. And listen, and to that story and to the follow-up story you had, this is why it is important for Christians and Christian nonprofits, Christian colleges, Christian whatever, as much as possible to divest yourself from the federal government. Because when you get...
BDS.
What's that?
BDS, boycott, yes. Divest, and sanction the federal government.
Because when you are tied to the federal government through that money, and you get an administration in office like the Biden administration that is so anti-God, you're going to wind up having to fend off. I'm mixing metaphors terribly here, but they will. The camel will get its nose under the tent, And you're going to be fending off the federal government for 4 years or 8 years or however long administrations like this are in power.
This is a form of extortion.
Yes.
It really is.
It's tyranny.
This policy also applies in other areas. The Biden administration they're borrowing money like crazy, but they're tying, for instance, federal contracts for bridges and roads. You're not going to be able to, if you're a construction company, you will not be able to apply for those projects unless you agree with these policies.
Right.
So this is, you don't get Biden federal dollars unless you buy into their far left policies.
Yeah. And by the way, the Federalist is noting this, and I will put this out here too. The public comment period for this, this is now the federal grant issue that I was talking about, is open until December 4th. Anybody can go and put a comment in the case of what we would suggest is that you say, do away with this policy. It's anti-Christian. It's anti-God. It's tyranny. It's open until December 4th. You can go to www.regulations.gov. Regulations.gov and navigate your way toward this particular regulation.
You know, the part of the insidious nature of what the Biden administration is doing is that nonprofits will probably sue over this first regulation. Other companies may sue over the second one, but that doesn't stop the Biden administration. What they do on guns and religious freedom, what they do is they'll say, okay, we're going to change one thing and reinstitute the policy. Yeah. And if you don't like it, sue us again, knowing that's incredibly
expensive.
And by the
way, even if they win the lawsuit, it's years in the appeals process.
Right.
By that time, it's wormed its way into every single, yeah. All right.
By the way, this is another reason why in today's world, governor's races are very, very important. Statewide races for attorney generals are very, very important. They may seem like they're secondary or not important. They are. Very important who your governor is, who your attorney general is. Some folks trapped in blue states, they got no hope.
Right.
But if you're in a purple state, certainly a red state, you need to support the most conservative candidate who can win in those races, because you're going to have to fight back against the encroachment of the federal government over and over and over again in today's world.
And to Steve's point, these attorney generals that are fighting this first policy change with regards to Health and Human Services and the foster care system, they might get a federal judge to issue an injunction and stop the Biden administration from implementing it while the lawsuit works its way through the courts. So, Tim, you're exactly right. You got to have conservatives in these very important state positions, because you can.
Right. Who will fight back against the federal government.
Slow down this train wreck, which is the anti-God, quote-unquote, progressive forces at work in the Biden administration.
Also, another thing that needs to be changed, and we're talking about a very difficult process to do this, but these agencies, I call them three-letter agencies of the federal government, who get money from us, the taxpayer, through appropriations by the Congress, but then after the money goes to the agencies, then they do what they want to without any, hardly, seemingly, any accountability to the taxpayer.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, because a lot of times Congress, which is supposed to have oversight.
Right, they don't oversee.
They don't oversee it, because all we get are these omnibus bills that just simply continue to funnel money, and then the authority for changing the regulations is inside the three-letter agency.
There, so many of our daily life is ruled not by laws that Congress passes, but by regulations that are passed that nobody elected these people to write these regulations. That's why one of the least heralded but maybe most important changes, things that Donald Trump did right in his first term, was deregulation. I mean, he undid a lot of this stuff. And Joe Biden's bringing them right back. But
by the way, and a perfect example of what you just said, Steve, what we've been talking about, we alerted our supporters about the Federal Communications Commission, the FCC, that Biden's appointment of a Democrat to be the chairperson of the FCC, that this is common. Whatever party controls the White House, they
get the chairmanship.
They get that chairmanship. So 3 out of 5 reflect the opinion of the party in power. We mentioned that the FCC was going to make a power grab to control internet service providers. Well, we had a lot of people who contacted the FCC, but that passed. So who knows what the consequences will be? I don't know whether it will be dire, but it will be bad consequences. That is going to come because the FCC took it upon itself. Remember, we had a FCC commissioner who said this is an unprecedented power grab. It's unconstitutional, but the FCC is doing it anyway.
Right.
And so that is now what we are going to have to – we're going to have to see what happens.
Who gave the government the responsibility of being involved in the internet at all? And I will say the same thing's coming with AI.
Yep.
Governments are scrambling to see who can control that. It's a technology. It doesn't belong per se or just by default to a government.
Right.
There was a jaw-dropping moment on Sky News the other day. And when I say jaw-dropping, I mean literally. So Kay Burley, who's the Sky News news presenter, the anchor there, was talking with Israeli government spokesperson Eilon Levy. And she said, I'm going to play you what she said. There's a little gap in here, about 2 or 3 seconds. And literally he's speechless. His eyes go wide. His jaw drops open at what was said. It's if it wasn't so cringeworthy, it would be kind of amusing. But let's listen to Cut 11.
I was speaking to a hostage negotiator this morning. He made the comparison between the 50 hostages that Hamas has promised to release, as opposed to the 150 prisoners that are Palestinians that Israel has said that it will release. And he made the comparison between the numbers and the fact that does Israel not think that Palestinian lives are valued as highly as Israeli lives?
Jaw drop.
That is an astonishing accusation. If we could release one prisoner for every one hostage, we would obviously do that. We're operating in horrific circumstances. We're not choosing to release these prisoners who have blood on their hands. We are talking about people who have been convicted of stabbing and shooting attacks. Notice the question of proportionality doesn't interest Palestinian supporters when they are able to get more of their prisoners out. But really, it is outrageous to suggest that the fact that we are willing to release prisoners who are convicted of terrorism offenses, more of them than we are getting our own innocent children back, somehow suggests that we don't care about Palestinian lives. Really, that's a disgusting accusation.
Good for him.
Good for him.
Good for him.
Listen, there is no making sense of the insanity. I guess it goes without saying when you're talking about people who have lost their minds on the left. I mean, these people just do not think like normal people living in a normal world. And that accusation, I'm glad he called her out on it.
The truth of the matter is Israel values life more than these Hamas terrorists. That's the bottom line. And Israel is willing to let 3 prisoners go for every one of these hostages. We've mentioned before, just several years back, Israel gave up 1,000 Palestinian prisoners for 1 IDF soldier. They value life. It's that Christian Judeo ethic that's in there. Hamas doesn't care. They don't care at all. They don't care if these people go out and break the law again and kill some more Jews. We'll put them back in prison again. You know, what's been disturbing to me is what the demonstrations that we have seen here in the United States. We have a story on our site this morning about what happened at Oakland City Council last night. They refused to pass a resolution that condemned Hamas. They refused. They gave unanimous approval to a resolution that said a permanent ceasefire, A permanent ceasefire means Hamas just reforms again and we have another October 7th.
Right.
They tried to put an amendment in to condemn Hamas, yeah, and those counselors in Oakland, California, refused to do that.
Refused to condemn what Hamas did,
yes,
on October 7th.
Now, one of the
astounding,
the most disturbing things about what happens when something like the October 7th attack, we saw it also on 9/11 in this country, is the backlash, the initial revulsion at what Hamas did in this case, was fairly universal for a day or so, and then you start seeing this backlash of, well, pro-Palestinian. There would be no pro-Palestinian demonstrations. The campuses wouldn't be full of people saying free Palestine had Hamas not gone and butchered Israelis. So in a way, it's worked out for them. You know, that it's disgusting because it just encourages more and more of this. We saw this also in Ireland.
Ireland.
Hey. So there was an Algerian immigrant who was an Irish citizen, been there 20 years, and he, for some reason, went and stabbed three children, Irish children. Well, that got the hackles up, and they started some demonstrations. So in response to the demonstrations, Ireland is now proposing a bill. It's kind of a hate crimes bill that would make it illegal to post any meme or internet communication that is critical of Muslims, of the Muslims. So again, a guy stabs children, and the end result is a pro-Muslim, an anti-free speech law. Listen to this is. Going to hear from first. You're going to hear from Irish Green Party Senator Pauline O'Reilly.
O'Reilly.
She's arguing for the taking away of free speech, which she'll say. And by the way, she was using the phrase for the common good. Note that, because that's a general policy of the left if they want to justify something. And then you're going to hear Irish political activist Keith Woods responding to this. Listen to cut 9.
If your views on other people's identities go to make their lives unsafe, insecure, and cause them such deep discomfort that they cannot live in peace, then I believe that it is our job as legislators to restrict those freedoms for the common good.
You can get up to 5 years in jail merely for possessing what's called hateful materials on your device. Even if you didn't have any intent to distribute that, you could potentially go to jail for possessing that. Eventually, these laws will come to everywhere in the West if we don't fight back. Mm-hmm. But this is an especially bad example of it.
Oh, the lefties are salivating at this, yeah, concept and idea and potential law. Mm-hmm. Not only in Ireland, they would love to put that all over the West, where they get to determine what hate speech is. And then they get to ban you from participating in society.
Or put you in prison.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, this concept of the common good, some of our listeners may not know this, but the founding fathers also talked about the common good. It's right. It's not a leftist label. But here's the difference in the application of it. The founding fathers wanted freedom and liberty to be protected by the government, and the outgrowth of that freedom and liberty would benefit everybody.
Yes.
That was how they referred to the common good. The way these leftists and commies and cultural Marxists use common good is we will decide what is good for everybody, and we will accomplish it by restricting individual freedom.
Right.
Because the individual is the enemy of the statist.
Right.
The people who want state power, individual liberties is a threat to that.
Yeah.
So that's the opposite of the way the founders viewed the common, yeah, good.
You just bingoed, by the way.
The left specializes in this. It was redefining terms. Exactly what you said. The founding fathers wanted the common good to, yeah, be freedom for the common good. The left just takes that phrase, which everybody associates with positive feelings of, you know, patriotism and everything, and they turn it on its head and say it's really a source of
well, Democrats have been doing that. One of the phrases they've been using since Biden got elected president, so-and-so is a threat to democracy.
Right.
What that person said is a threat, right, to democracy. You know, I'm coming to believe just about everything the left accuses the right of, they are guilty of.
Right.
You're right.
They are guilty of.
Yeah. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues. That's the name of this show on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim with Ed and Fred and Steve. If you want to download the podcast from today's show, simply go after the show's over. What, half an hour, Brent? We'll have it posted. Or any of our other shows here on AFR, our previous Today's Issues programs, just go to AFR.net. AFR.net, AFR.net. Click on podcasts, click on Today's Issues, and boom. Yes, I said boom. I did. I said boom right here on the radio. That you have, you'll be listening to Today's Issues. Yep. Next story, Steve. You got that meat story in there anywhere?
Oh, yeah.
This is what I want to warn Americans about this one. Get your meat story.
Yeah. The United Nations is calling on Americans to reduce their meat consumption.
Uh-huh.
So dial back on the Big Macs.
Why is this, Steve? Why does the UN care about Americans eating meat?
Well, because meat comes from cows, and cows produce greenhouse gases.
Come from other animals, too, right?
Yes. Otherwise known as plant food.
Yes. I like eating meat. I even like eating meat byproducts. I'm not sure what that is exactly, but you like find them in hot dogs.
Right.
So, Fred, you had the totals of what Americans consume as opposed to what the UN
yes.
wants them to.
Yeah, the average American consumes, this according to Bloomberg, 127 kilograms of meat a year.
And I'm proud of it.
Yes. What the United Nations wants to cut that to 15.7 kilograms of meat a year.
And you know what? They would force people to do that. If they could, they yes. would force people to do it. And you would hear exactly what we heard from this Irish representative who just spoke, this woman who just spoke. They would say, this is for the common good. Right. We're going to have to restrict your individual freedoms for the common good.
Yes.
Less meat, more potatoes.
You can look Irish. Forward to going to McDonald's and having your 16th pounder.
Well, yeah, yes. Wendy's is going to bring back the commercial, Where's the Beef?
Where's the beef, right?
Well, I think
Carla
and Arby's is going to have a problem with this, too.
That's right.
We Arby's. Have the meats.
Arby's go out of business. Yeah,
they would, because they have the meats.
We have the meats.
All right.
So, Zach, well, I just, I reject that.
Okay,
idea.
I do, too. In fact, I
Let's
rebuke
vote.
That.
Let's vote.
I rebuke
all who
that.
Reject the United Nations trying to restrict our meat consumption.
Cool. Yes.
I think it's for we're there to
because the United Nations is all about letting us vote.
Yeah, I represent what country do you represent, Ed?
I represent both Italy and Greece. I speak for them.
Okay, so Ed's casting votes for two countries.
That's right.
We're not going to take that.
That's right.
UN. Mind your own meatness.
Hey, can I play you something as we go out from one of Joe Biden's diversity hires?
Oh, please do.
Miguel Cardona is the education secretary, and he was talking about what he's going to do for education, how the state is going to help. I want you to hear him kind of pervert something that Ronald Reagan said, cut eight.
You know, we're going to set up follow-up calls with every governor we met with to make sure we're available. I think it was President Reagan said, we're from the government. We're here to help.
The 9 most terrifying words in the English language are, I'm from the government and I'm here to help.
So he sort of misquoted.
Well, he quoted him perfectly, just didn't
quite. He missed the
context.
Missed the point.
Context.
Missed the point.
No, the most terrifying words. I'm the government.
I missed the Gipper.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. All right. Thank you for listening to the program today, everybody. And we'll see you here tomorrow for another edition of Today's Issues. Keep listening to American Family Radio.